Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
I'm just saying, our cafeteria is balling, though. If that's commissary, then we're winning right now. People need to remember that about ESPN in Connecticut.
Yes.
I'm not saying, but I'm just saying. Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinay Agwumike. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. And we're going to balance out the universe in a little bit on this show. Eric McClain, former Clemson center, starting offensive lineman, does great work here at the ACC Network, is going to balance the scales as I get ready and we get ready for what's to come this weekend in college football. I'll tell you why you need to be ready for conference championship weekend and what everything is going to mean in about 10 minutes. But, Chinay, it is time. Now, we have usually gone with the corny game show music, but I feel like we need a little bit of a different music to start this off because we've got Chinay's NBA preseason awards going on right now, but it's the Dreams and Nightmares edition.
Let's go! Y'all thought I was finished. Today's award. We've been preseason NBA awards all week long, and today's award is the twist on the best team award. So in the hoops world, we call this, you know, best team, the dream team. But because of the headlines today, and we've had a lot of Philly talk, I feel like the only way we can do this is dreams and nightmares teams. Y'all thought I was finished? Okay, let's start. Let's start with the stars, okay? The award for stars that make a dream team goes to the Los Angeles Lakers, led by their stars Anthony Davis and LeBron James, who just re-signed. Plus, they're getting younger by the new additions, a different song, of Montrezl Harrell and Dennis Schroeder, who can combine to give you, what, about 36 points per game off the bench. So they are stars that make a dream, but the stars that make a nightmare team right now could potentially be the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm.
Their relationships with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they have media problems a lot of times that they only create. But at least this season, they have the opportunity to right those wrongs, and hopefully they'll do it not on social media, not in front of the media, but on the court, most importantly. Now, we've gone through the star power here, but hold up, wait a minute. Y'all thought I was finished. Let's talk about actual teams, like teams with players from top to bottom. The actual team that is a dream team, the award goes to the Milwaukee Bucks, and they have been dominant over the regular seasons. They've had two near 60-win seasons. They're also the number one team in defensive rating for the last two seasons as well. Plus, you have two all-stars to truly tag team with Giannis Antetokounmpo, with Chris Middleton and now Drew Holiday. And speaking of Holiday, he averaged 19, 6.7 assists per game, 5 rebounds per game, and 1.5 steals per game. This guy plays on both ends. So this team is an actual team that is truly a dream. But you know I had to go with the nightmares next. The actual team that is a nightmare top to bottom. And it hurts me to say this. The award goes to my Houston Rockets. James Harden, he wants out, and it's not just that. It's the fact that by wanting out, you now have showed your teammates, John Wall, who's out there, Boogie Cousins, who's out there, that are happy to be playing after their injuries, that, oh, you know, I don't want to play with y'all. Instead, send me out somewhere else. And so now you have problems. You have problems with your coach. You didn't show up on time. You have problems with your play. You showed up and really are just saying, I'm only here until I get somewhere else. And so the actual team that is a nightmare right now is Houston, and hopefully we can fix that so I can stop saying we have problems. So overall, star power. The stars that are actually dreams are clearly the Lakers and the Milwaukee Bucks when it comes to actual teams, but the nightmares happen to be the Brooklyn Nets and the Houston Rockets.
I want you to know how serious that's got to be in Houston for Chinay, of all people, to offer up her very own Houston Rockets as the nightmare scenario in the NBA right now. Chinay's NBA preseason awards rolling along here, and so we thought we would enlist some help to kind of check on the situation as well. Andre Snellings, our ESPN NBA senior writer, joining us now on the show. Penn's Oil Performance Line. Andre, we appreciate the time. You heard the dreams and nightmares here, and I'm curious, the nightmare Nets, is that something that you can get down with, this team maybe not being all it's cracked up to be?
I am actually all over that, and I was digging the Meek Mill right there, too. So what's up, Shanae? I definitely agree with the Nets not being perhaps what people think they'll be. For one thing, I think that people forget how solid the top five teams in the East are. You know, there's this thought that, well, with Kevin Durant, you know, he's arguably the best player in the league. He's just going to come in, and with Kyrie as a second star, they move right to the top of the East. But Chinay just pointed out, you know, the Bucks are, they got better. I think the 76ers got better. The Heat were just in the finals, And then people, for some reason, are sleeping on the Celtics and the Raptors like they fell off or something when they were right there at the top two. So I definitely feel like the Nets have a lot to prove, and if they don't get to where people think they should be, I can see it becoming a nightmare.
Andre Snellings of ESPN, our own senior writer here with us on Chanel Gold Jr. It's been a minute, Andre. I'm so glad to talk to you. But, you know, it's funny. We talked about the Bucks and how great it was that he was signed to that Supermax contract. Do you think that they have enough pieces right now to not only come out of the East but finally get that actual hardware, not Defensive Player of the Year, not MVP, but actually win a championship?
I think they do. You know, with the Lakers being what they are and then what they've added in the offseason, they have to be the favorite, you know, to win everything. But I think the Bucks are right there. People, I think, forget how good they've been just because of how the last two seasons have ended. They were like historically dominant last season before the break. And the Heat and the Raptors both kind of had the same Da Vinci Code the last two seasons to get to get them out of the playoffs, where they just kind of had the personnel to wall off and make it really difficult for Giannis to create like he normally does, and the rest of the Bucks weren't able to, you know, pick up the slack and finish the deal, so to speak. Bringing in Drew Holiday, that's massive. You mentioned he's a second All-Star, but he's excellent at generating offense, both for himself and for the team, and that's something they lacked before. You know, Middleton can do it for himself. He can get his own looks. But Drew can get it for himself and also for everybody else. So if teams do try to just wall off and stop Giannis, the Bucks should be set up now to not miss a beat and maybe even take advantage of defenses to play in that way. And if that's the case, then it's going to be trouble.
Going to be trouble indeed. But Andre, we've heard a lot of this, and you're right. It sounds like the usual suspects that we should consider here, the Lakers and the Bucks, the teams in the East that you mentioned. I'm going to take the bait on this one, and if we're going dreams and nightmares theme, then I'll ask you this, pun fully intended, who are we sleeping on right now in the NBA that we haven't mentioned here?
Yeah, so, you know, I mentioned a couple of them. I think people are really sleeping on the Celtics and the Raptors. Another one that has not been mentioned yet that's not in the East is the Portland Trail Blazers. You know, last year they were injured for most of the season, and so by the time they got to the bubble, they were fighting. They were like 9-10 seeds struggling to get into the playoffs. I think because of that, it wasn't obvious once they got their big man Nurkic back healthy. In the bubble, they were one of probably the top 3 to 5 teams. They just happened to come out and play the Lakers in the first round once they got into the playoffs, and that was all she wrote. But you take a team that's that good, built around Dame, who I think is going to be in the MVP conversation this year, and you add Robert Covington, who is not necessarily a household name, but that brother played, his impact is borderline all-star, and it has been for the last few years. You know, I'm really into the numbers. He's like an analytics dream. So you take him and plug him in, now their lineup has no holes. You know, like I said, the Lakers have to be the favorites out west, and there's some other strong teams, but folks are sleeping on the Trailblazers.
Awesome stuff, Andre. We appreciate that. Gonna definitely, you're right, the Trailblazers, who were in the Western Conference Finals two seasons ago, probably a team that we should all be paying more attention to. By the way, make sure you check out a piece that Andre has written with Stefania Bell where they talk about NBA player injuries and the potential for recovery and what we might expect from some of those players this season. Think Kevin Durant, John Wall, Zion Williamson, and more. Andre, we appreciate the time and info, man. We'll talk to you soon,
all
right?
Thanks.
Hey, y'all, thanks for having me, and have me back.
Absolutely. Very, very soon as this NBA season gets ready to roll forward here. And so
you can book it.
You can book that, indeed. A Merry Christmas to everybody with Andre Snellings involved. But coming up next, as we switch gears back, it is a big weekend. Conference championships coming up on Saturday in college football. The selection show coming up on Sunday, where the committee is going to decide the final four teams. I will tell you why Notre Dame can do it again, and why, despite what our head coach has said, Notre Dame is going to be in the college football playoff. We'll do that next. It's Chanel Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chanel Gold Jr., the podcast.
We got Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, stopping by in about 10 minutes. I'm very curious because obviously Marcus is a proud LSU alum, just like Joe Burrow. Has any of what we've seen from Justin Herbert so far this weekend made Marcus reconsider the order of quarterbacks? I know this is the thing that we do, but Justin Herbert has been so compelling in a very different way this year that I think it's worth the ask. Chenangle Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the show, Penn's Oil Performance Line. But before we do that, tons to get to this weekend. You could argue, I don't even think it's actually an argument, across the board, the college football slate of games this weekend far surpasses its NFL counterpart. Conference championships on Saturday, the selection committee making their final selection on Selection Sunday, letting us know who the final four are on. So this is going to be probably the easiest version of this we've ever done, but I'll tell you why you need to be excited.
Whoa, please tell me what that is.
Yeah. All right, you don't have to act so startled. What the hell was that?
Mike, tell me why. Why? Tell me why.
Yeah, let's go. Michael Jing, are you ready to break down the world of college football?
Feels like the time. Feels like we're ready.
Okay, let's do it. Tell Me Why is part of the countdown to the college football playoff brought to you by AT&T 5G. Fast, secure, and reliable. Okay, Junior. Let's start with your people. Tell me why, regardless of what Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly says, ND is going to be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, for anyone that has not heard this yet, Notre Dame head coach Brian Kelly was very animated in a press conference heading into the ACC championship game, a rematch between Notre Dame and Clemson this weekend, when he talked about not the ACC title game, but the college football playoff that Notre Dame may or may not be playing in. Here was what he had to say.
I'm not sure we'll play in the playoffs if parents can't be there, to be honest with you. Why would we play if you can't have the families at the game? So a bowl game, yeah, we would opt out. If you can't have families at bowl games, I mean, why would you go to a game where your families can't be part of it? What's the sense of playing a game, you know, in an area of the country where, you know what I mean, nobody can be part of it?
And, Chinee, we heard that sound because I think Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly and Dabo Swinney echoed this, are trying to make a point so that people pay attention, so that the pressure gets put publicly on the committee. But make no mistake, Notre Dame, A, I think win or lose this weekend is in the college football playoff, but I think it's going to come with a win this weekend. Not because of who is or isn't back for Clemson, the returning starters on defense, Trevor Lawrence, but who Notre Dame has been since that first matchup. Bill Conley did a great article on ESPN.com where he pointed out the Notre Dame offense since that Clemson game went from averaging about 37 points per game to 40.3 points per game in that stretch. Went from averaging about 6.5 yards per play on offense to 7.2. The defense is still as potent, but Chinee, the offense has finally been unlocked. Ian Book and that downfield passing attack going to be the difference this time around. Notre Dame gets it done again.
Tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself. That's
we'll,
cute.
We'll
That's
have Eric nice. McLean represent the Clemson side of things coming up here in about a half hour, our ESPN ACC analyst.
Yes. Well, we've talked your team, and we've also talked the college football playoff, but how about the top players? Tell me why the Heisman will come down to two players in the same game.
Now, that game is the SEC championship game. Alabama going to play Florida in the SEC title game, a game that feels a little bit different, but Kyle Trask coming into last week was probably the Heisman frontrunner. This game is going to come down to not Kyle Trask, and I give full credit to Richard Johnson, who you can check out on Thinking Out Loud on the SEC Network on Mondays with Spencer Hall, Alyssa Lang, and more, who said it is between Mac Jones for Alabama and Devonta Smith at wide receiver. Two guys on the same team going toe-to-toe with it because after the last weekend that we saw from Devontae, a punt return for a touchdown, unbelievable output in that game. Chinee, this is one where I think college football, we so often crown the best quarterback on the best team for the Heisman Trophy. And in this year, for whatever reason, we've been searching for it, but Trevor Lawrence's sideline, a bunch of games due to COVID. We've seen on both of these teams going back and forth, trying to make it happen for one of these quarterbacks. But at the end of the day, I think the minute that punt return touchdown came to light, I think we opened up the opportunity. The wide receiver really might be the one to win this award this season. And listen, as someone who has been firmly in camp, Devonta Smith, as the wide receiver one in this class, it warms my heart to see it coming to fruition.
Yeah, differences are actually nice. We should celebrate those. Like, for instance, we all love it when posts get MVPs too. So, yes, differences matter.
This is also a great time to remind people I'll be watching this very closely this weekend as a Heisman voter, which I am.
Oh, okay, flex. I would do, that's what's up, man. Okay, proud of you. All right, now. I'm really hyped for that matchup. I'm really hyped for the Heisman race because we feel like there's more parity there this year than ever, especially given the situation. But, Junior, tell me why hope is a true four-letter word this weekend.
Yeah, Chinee, hope was a four-letter word going into this weekend. It's Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio because I was looking. Coastal Carolina was supposed to play Louisiana this weekend for the Sun Belt title, and it was supposed to be a really exciting game, one that I was looking forward to a lot. But we got the news from the Sun Belt itself that the championship game was postponed due to a positive COVID-19 test within the Coastal Carolina program. And Seth Walder does a great job with our analytics department, had concocted a way where, you know, Alabama, Notre Dame, Northwestern, Oklahoma, Oregon, Tulsa, Coastal Carolina, and Tennessee all win this weekend. And somehow, in very, very few models, the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers somehow found their way into the college football playoff. That obviously takes a hit with this, but Chinee, we are rewarded with some good in the Myrtle Beach area because we did get the news from the Myrtle Beach Bowl that they are excited to announce none other than Ryan McGee and Marty Smith are going to be calling the inaugural Myrtle Beach Bowl after campaigning for it all year long on Marty and McGee.
We are
very excited. James Steele, who's a part of that show, who's with us today, has been part of that campaign. James, it's got to feel satisfying right now.
We did it.
As they said, two Southern studs that love the Myrtle Beach area. We couldn't be more excited to have them.
We did it. Tell me why it's part of the countdown to the college football playoff brought to you by AT&T 5G. Fast, secure, and reliable. Now, last but not least, Junior, tell me what you'll be doing during the ACC championship game, because I have a feeling you won't be talking to many people.
Drinking and worrying. Worrying and drinking. I am a miserable cuss to watch a game with. I don't know if I can put anyone else through that, so it may just be me, a man alone with his thoughts, as Notre Dame takes on Clemson in a top five rematch of a game earlier this year from South Bend. Lots to look forward to in all of that. But coming up next, a man whose alma mater has not shined nearly as bright this year has to ask an uncomfortable and answer an uncomfortable question about one of the best LSU quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Anyone rethinking Burrow over Herbert? We'll get to that after this word from AT&T.
There are a lot of reasons to like AT&T 5G, to love AT&T 5G. For example, maybe you're Ben Simmons on the fast break. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're fast. Maybe you're Joel Embiid on the block, shimmying and shaking. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're secure. Or maybe you're Adam Silver making it all happen with an NBA season once again in short notice. Then you'll like AT&T 5G because you're reliable. Switch to AT&T 5G. It's fast, secure, and reliable. And now it's also nationwide. AT&T 5G is not complicated. 5G requires a compatible plan. 5G may not be in your area. See AT&T.com/5G for you for 5G coverage details. One of New Orleans, their own. Talking about the Saints, New Orleans, Marcus Spears, that's next on Chinee and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and streaming live right now on ESPN Plus.
Chinee and Golic Jr., the podcast.
It is amazing, Chinee, when you look at sports in general. I feel like the nicest thing you can say about someone is they've got some dog in them, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, that's the highest compliment you can play someone in sports, I believe.
Yes.
Is that as true in basketball as it is in football?
Yeah, or like, oh, that person's a beast. Like, that's a beast. Dog, beast, same thing.
Yeah, I feel like all of it plays and all of it kind of sends that message. Like, yeah, that person, like, you just don't need to mess with that person. Chinee and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Chinee Agwemeke. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and we want to get into plenty coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're efforting Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst. Try and get the temperature on where he is at right now. Joe Burrow took so much of the NFL by storm with a bad Bengals team before he got hurt. Does any of what we've seen with Justin Herbert change that? But, Chinee, I can't imagine the level of fame that people deal with sometimes. Taylor Swift put up a tweet 4 minutes ago that's got 25,000 likes. I don't know how you live like that. Like, Chinee, how is it like for you, someone who has been tweeted by President Barack Obama, living in this world? I can't imagine it's very, very easy.
Yeah, LeBron James once retweeted me, and I was like, oh my gosh, that's a whole different, like, vortex of life. Like, the amount of engagement that happens there. And I was like, that's a lot. A lot to deal with.
I don't know how people handle those things. Let's bring in someone who has handled the trappings of fame as well as anybody, our ESPN NFL analyst, Marcus Spears, with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can catch him on NFL Live each and every day here at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Marcus, I do have to ask, though, because you played in the NFL for a long time, you had a great career, and you've been out of the game for a little while now. Does seeing video of 39-year-old Andrew Whitworth, who tore his MCL and PCL in Week 10, looking like he could be ready to return sometime this season, make you feel like you have a few snaps left in you, or make you feel washed up?
No, it makes me feel washed up, and it makes me feel like I should have took better care of my body when I was playing, man. Big Wit, obviously, we played together at LSU. I adore him, love him like a brother, man. And to see him being able to bounce back from something like this just brought my heart joy. But, you know, Golic, a lot about this business, man, when kids ask me, you know, how do you have success in this business, a lot of it is just knowing who the hell you are. And I know one thing about myself. I don't have any snaps left in the NFL. I mean, if you want to get ran through and you want somebody to score a tremendous amount of points on you, then yeah, you can do that. But I don't have any snaps left.
Marcus, that's a fair point. I have a lot of sacks I could give up for somebody right now as a bad blocking tight end based on the size that I'm at. But I'd say the highs for you were high enough where you can sleep pretty soundly at night here, Marcus. But I am curious. You mentioned your NFL brethren there in Andrew Whitworth. Another one of your NFL brethren in Joe Burrow, number one overall pick in the draft this year, has been sidelined for a while and really did wonders for that Bengals franchise. But I'm curious now as we watch what Justin Herbert has been able to do. And last night, capping off that overtime win against the Las Vegas Raiders. Has any part of you thought that maybe Justin Herbert, if we were to go back and re-rack the draft, would be someone that merits that number one overall pick now?
Oh, yeah. Based off his performance, for sure, MG. Like, but here's the thing, too. Like, it's easy to forget how good Joe Burrow was because he's injured, right? And it's easy to forget what he was doing with a team that doesn't have nearly as much talent as the team that the Chargers have. But with that being said, man, yeah, you would reevaluate. Justin Herbert looks amazing, dude. Like, Justin Herbert looks like he's the guy that's going to be in that division to compete with Patrick Mahomes going forward as long as the organization does the right thing and surrounds him with good players and keeps, you know, a defense, obviously, you need to compete. But, yeah, man, like – yeah, they were reevaluated. I know I'm one of the ones that's reevaluated, even though I thought that Justin Herbert had a shot in the NFL. And you know this being around the game. Like, and as crazy as this sounds, some dude's skill set and ability lends itself better to the NFL than it does in college because you are surrounded by a lot of other really good players and you don't have to carry the brunt of the load. Think about this, too. Like, this is another example of what I'm talking about. DK Metcalf was the number two receiver at Ole Miss his entire career,
yep,
behind A.J. Brown. You think he's a number two receiver now? So I think it has a lot to do with Justin Herbert being not only in a really good situation, but it also has a lot to do with the fact that he has the ability to now work around guys that can absolutely get it done. If you're telling me I can play with Keenan Allen, and you're telling me I can have Mike Williams and Hunter Henry at my disposal in order to, you know, bring me along in this league, I'll take them odds based on the fact that I'm going to be good. And then he's in that same vein of a lot of these guys that we've seen have success, right? Super athletic, strong arm, can offer you more than just being able to throw from the pocket. He's answered a lot of questions, and people could say, yeah, but they're losing. It doesn't have anything to do with Justin Herbert. He's giving them an opportunity to win all of the games pretty much that they played in. So it's been a joy to watch him, man. And look, he for right now, the way it looks like he's going to be the guy that's going to challenge Pat Mahomes in that division.
here with Marcus Spears, ESPN NFL analyst and also co-host of NFL Live here with us on Chenan Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. Now, I want to look forward to the weekend, Marcus, because, you know, it's been really interesting following this quarterback situation in your state, you know, Louisiana, all that stuff, when it comes down to the Saints. And it's been really interesting because Drew Brees was just a few days ago reported as, oh, he's so-so, we're being cautious with him, and now he's starting. And then you're also dealing with a situation where they're down a weapon in Michael Thomas. What do you make of their decision to start Drew Brees given his injuries?
I mean, I understand it because, you know, Sean Payton was the offensive coordinator when I first got to Dallas today. And the bottom line is this. He's going to, if you are healthy enough to go, you're going to play. And if he thinks you give him the best chance to win, you're going to play. And that's never changed. But that doesn't mean I'm not nervous. That doesn't mean I'm not scared for Drew Brees. Drew Brees is 41 years old, y'all. And he's now about to play. He's now about to play a game where you have guys that can rush the passer from the interior in Chris Jones. You have a situation now where you are poised to get him hit and see what it's like. So hopefully, you know, he can hit, sustain a hit, and come back from it. But right now I'm nervous. I'm scared, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be with Drew and what he's going to go through. Like, it's just a nervous energy that I have based on his age and based on the things that he hasn't been able to get accomplished when he's been out and having these significant injuries. And we already had a conversation early this year about Drew Brees and was his arm strength there. Could he really do it? He looked slow. He looked lethargic. So I'm excited because I know Drew is a consummate professional and he's an uber competitor, so he wants this shot. But I'm also nervous because the Chiefs are going to hit it. Based on what I've seen them do so far this season.
Nervous energy going into what could be the biggest NFL matchup of the season. We're all excited to check it out one way or another. Marcus, we appreciate the time as always, brother. We'll talk to you next week, all right?
As always, family, look forward to it. Peace.
Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL defensive lineman, with us for the weekend preview brought to you by GEICO. Whether you rent or own, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home or car insurance. Go to geico.com. Today, now, coming up next, going to check out what we've got going on. I'm not going to lie, I wrote down what we need to look for on here for the top seed in the NFC. Is it worth, as Marcus Spears mentioned, rushing Drew Brees back in that situation? That's how I rebound based on the help from our producer in here. Are they robbing Peter to pay Paul for this one? We will get to that after this word from ButcherBox. Get me away from whatever that just was. Ugh.
It sounded okay, actually.
It sounded all right. It felt terrible.
Come on, Clef. Let him live.
I don't want to deceive you, America, all right? I didn't have my stuff together there.
Do the read, Junior.
Get us paid, you're right. ButcherBox. No one likes to actually go to the grocery store. She said, shut the hell up. Especially during the holidays. That's why there's ButcherBox. From free-range organic chicken to heritage breed pork, 100% grass-fed and grass-finished beef, to fresh-caught seafood like salmon and scallops, ButcherBox has over 20 different cuts of meat you can choose from, and their boxes ship fresh right to your door. Sign up today at ButcherBox.com/CJR, and you're going to get free bacon for the life of your membership. Full stop. One pack of free bacon in every box, the lifetime of your membership. All you got to do is sign up at ButcherBox.com/CJR, ButcherBox.com/CJR. Should we all be worried for Drew Brees this weekend? Next, Chenan Gould Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chenan and Gould Jr., the podcast.
Chenan Gould Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. And reminding you to tune into football action this Sunday as Deshaun Watson and the Texans visit the Rivers and the Colts. Pre-game begins at noon Eastern on most ESPN radio stations. Now, Chenan, we got plenty of time to get to the NFC playoff race here and why it's prompting the Saints to do something pretty risky. We got plenty of time to get to Clemson and what's going to go on with Notre Dame and Clemson. Eric McLane from the ACC Net, former Clemson alum, going to join us here in about 15 minutes. But I can't get enough of this now. We've talked so much about Kyrie Irving on this program, and obviously Kyrie's been out here having his weird back and forth with the media. But that doesn't hold a candle or a bit of sage to this. Kyrie Irving, there is video of him from NBC Celtics. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Now listen, I'm even going to say I deserve that. Kyrie Irving is out here burning sage in Boston before their game against the Celtics right now. The Nets, Celtics, Kyrie Irving is out here burning sage in TD Garden. Chiney, is this the least surprising thing on earth?
Yes, not surprising at all. I mean, that's just the vibe. A lot of people have sage and they use that. Now to do that in Boston, knowing that you're going to play there and all that stuff, like, yes, this is something that doesn't help his case because it's now generating, we're talking about it now, it's generating more headlights, and I'm sorry, going into the break, Cliff, you have to stop with the heat on the music. I really wanted to say, before the end of the night, I'm going to sage you so right. Okay, yeah.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Come on.
Some people can't appreciate a good thing when they got it here, Chiney.
I'm going to sage you so right.
I'm going to say, Chiney, he's nice with the sage. Like, he's out
really
there
nice.
Working that. This is clearly not the first room that he has saged before either.
Oh, for sure. For sure. Look, I...
Have you ever saged anything?
I think he will eat sage. I haven't, but my sister has it.
I was going to say, my sister-in-law saged her and my brother's basement because she thought it was haunted. I got friends around here to sage their basement for the same reason. So I don't know if he knows something that we don't about TD Garden, but apparently he is making sure that the evil spirits have no place in the matchup against the Nets
Celtics
tonight.
Okay, look, I'm watching this video for the first time right now live, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, look, that actually looks like something that he just normally would do. He might do it to every arena he steps into just to make sure the energy is right. And if he's there getting shots up and all that stuff, like, this is his prerogative. The problem here is just that they're going to have cameras in there. And if you see, like, the video, it's Sports Boston, so of course they know what they're doing here.
Oh, they absolutely know what they're doing here. I'm amazed. It seems like a little bit of a fire hazard, but I guess, you know what? They launch fireworks off in NFL stadiums all the time. Even I've seen an indoor ones in a way that weirds me out, so... Wise man said, get it how you live. Bowl season is looming, by the way. Speaking of football, tune in tomorrow for the Big 12 championship game presented by Dr. Pepper. Coverage begins at 11:30 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
I want to say one more time, I honestly think he probably doesn't think cameras are watching him. This is just part of his process. But again, a different dude. But yeah, continue.
I you know what? Either way, even if he's noticing, this is the right kind of attention to bring to yourself. Burning sage
yes.
is harmless fun. It's the kind of behavior that we associate with Kyrie Irving already. He seems like a sagey guy. And so I have no problem with this. This is one of those situations. This is a positive way to use
yes.
the media to promote
yes.
saging places that you want to keep safe.
Yes.
Now, Chiney, should they be burning sage inside the Superdome or wherever they're playing? I realize they could be
yes.
playing it in Kansas City this weekend for
Either
the Chiefs
way.
And the Saints getting ready to play this one because the Saints made the announcement they're going to start Drew Brees in this game, who had been out missing time with 11 fractured ribs leading up to this. But Michael Thomas will be down for this game. So, Chiney, any issue here? Marcus Spears, our ESPN NFL analyst, just said he's worried for Drew Brees. Where are you at on this?
Everyone in New Orleans, if you're a Saints fan, who that nation, bring your sage out. You need it. You need it. Not just because, you know, obviously you have a quarterback that is dealing and nursing with injury, but also bold enough to actually say, you know what, I want to be out there if I'm capable. Cool. You also are dealing with Michael Thomas being out. That's tough. And coming off a loss that could have helped you in the NFC standings. So there are a lot of situations where you can be nervous about. So I feel like this is a safe sage zone if you're a New Orleans Saints fan.
That is true. And I just confirmed the game is in New Orleans. So best believe there is plenty of sage down in Louisiana. They have got that all out there. So again, Michael Thomas ruled out because of an ankle injury. He was unable to practice all week because of that. So they're going to try and get him right. And Chiney, the more and more I think about it, I think about this. The Saints are as acutely aware as anybody that 41-year-old Drew Brees is already someone who we've worried about long-term in these situations, that injuries in 41-year-old quarterbacks are probably to be taken a little more seriously than most instances. And so if he's back out on that field, it's got to be because they think he's close to 100%. You know this. Every athlete's chomping at the bit to get back out there. Everyone's saying, shoot me with whatever you need to in this instance so I can get out there and help my team. And Drew Brees knows. He's been around long enough and been in a Super Bowl journey to know they need him for the long term, and I don't think they would jeopardize the short term this much if it was a huge risk for him to go out there, because they know he's going to get hit in this game. Even with a good offensive line the way the Saints have, they know he's going to get hit, and they're still willing to put him out there. So I'm willing to believe that it's going to be a good enough situation and a necessary enough one for him to do so.
And given the way it could potentially shake out, again, I think I said last five games or so, the Chiefs have only won by a differential of like no more than 6 or 7 points, like within a touchdown. If they're able to manage the game and he is able to win, can we talk about the narrative of where the conversation was at the start of the season to him coming back down a weapon and potentially getting a win? I think he sees that too.
Absolutely. It could go a long way in the way that we shape and continue to shape that narrative around Drew Brees. You're absolutely right. As he ages and the way that we've perceived his arm strength, his ability to operate this offense for Sean Payton still at this point, because we've seen now how it could be going forward, and the future didn't look as bright as a lot of people expected. Bright future coming up this weekend, though. We've heard a lot about the Notre Dame side of the upcoming ACC championship. Let's check in with Clemson, what they can expect with starters back that missed last game. We'll do that next on ESPN Radio.
Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.